This morning's sermon is called The Living Water, Part 3, from the book of John, chapter 4, verse 26 through 42, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. A Samaritan woman meets her Messiah at the well. This is a wonderful story of our Lord Jesus Christ sharing the gospel himself with a sinful Samaritan woman at a well. This will be our third Sunday in this passage, the final ending of this passage, the Word of God. In our passage last Sunday, Jesus made two very powerful revelations to this Samaritan woman. The first revelation that he made to her was that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship is a matter of the heart, and the Lord is telling us, if you want to worship me, you'll have to come to me in spirit and truth from the heart. Right? True worship is about loving God, honoring God, praising God, glorifying God, obeying God, serving God from the heart. That's what Jesus is telling us. You must come to me in spirit and truth from the heart to worship me. The second revelation that he made to the Samaritan woman in our passage was that Jesus declared to her that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Christ, the one that she said to him is coming soon. We are waiting on him. She said to Jesus, when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I am he at this well. I am he. I am the Messiah. Very, very powerful. So let's pick up in verse 27 this morning, continue this story. It says in verse 27, it says, at this point, Jesus' disciples came and they marveled that Jesus talked with a woman. Yet, no one said to him, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Jesus' disciples came and saw Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman, and they were shocked because Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans, as we read in the scriptures in the earlier passage. So they're like, what is Jesus doing? He's sitting at a well with a Samaritan woman. We don't get along, the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus was letting his disciples know, I want you to know that I came to offer salvation to the world, not just to you, but to the world, right? To the Jews and the Gentiles, to the world. Jesus was showing them what he wanted them to do. He wanted them to go and preach the gospel to every creature everywhere in the world. He was setting that example for them. That, no, we're not just sharing the gospel with our heritage. We're going to bring this gospel to the world. This is why I'm with this Samaritan woman. Very, very powerful. I want you to notice in this verse that the disciples didn't question Jesus to why he was talking to the Samaritan woman. They were shocked. I'm sure it was all over their face, their expression. But look what it says in the verse. It says, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking to her? It says that no one said that. No one questioned Jesus. Why? Because they had learned. They had learned it's not for them to question the Lord. Just trust in him. To just trust in him, right? That he controls all things. They were growing spiritually, and they were realizing that we need to trust in those times we don't understand these things. We know that if he's talking to this Samaritan by the well, there's a reason for it. And we're going to trust in Him and let Him work out all things, right? That He's in charge. So let's take a look at our next verses, verses 28 and 30 in our passage as this continues. It says in verse 28, it says that the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to them, "Come, see the man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to Jesus. The Samaritan woman had a revelation of Jesus Christ, and most likely she actually took off running to her village. Why do I think that? She left a water pot. She's at a well to get water. She just takes off, forgets her water pot. She ran so fast. She bolted. She was probably so excited. "I found the Messiah. He was sitting at the well with me." She came to this well as a child of Adam, dead in her sin, and left a child of God alive in Christ. Hallelujah. She got saved and couldn't wait to tell her village about the Messiah. Oh, if we could only get this excited, huh? She took off running. "Oh, I found the Messiah. Come see." Her sin, which was once her shame, was now part of her testimony. Her sin led to repentance and faith, which brought her to salvation. She came to the village and said, look what it says. It says, she came to the village and said, "Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. He knows everything about me. He knows I had five husbands." He knew that. I didn't tell him. He knew that I was now living with a man who wasn't my husband. He knew. He told me everything I ever did about my life. He made a revelation to her. "I know everything about you. I know you better than you know you." Same with us. Same with us. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's in your heart. He knows where you go. He knows what you say. He knows how you live your life. He knows how much time you spend with Him. He told the Samaritan woman, He's telling us in this passage, "I know everything about you." She was so shocked that she took off. "I found the Messiah. This couldn't be anybody else. He told me my whole life at the well." Very powerful. Now she said, could this be the Messiah? She knew Jesus was the Messiah. But if she told her village, "Hey, I found the Messiah." Now this was an outcast in her village, a very immoral woman, right? They would have said, "Yeah, sure you did. This lady's not stupid." She said, "If I go back to my village and I found the Messiah," they'll say, "Yeah, okay, you'll be all right. Why don't you go back to the well and get some more water?" So she said, "Could this be the Christ? He told me everything I ever known." She's selling them on it. And she says, "Come, see, he told me all things. Could this be the Christ? Come on, come see. You got to talk to him." And it says, then they went out of the city to seize Jesus, that if he was in fact the Messiah, the Christ. So let's pick up in verse 31 and 34. It says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, teacher, eat." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Wow. So in the meantime, back at the well, his disciples come back to the well. The Samaritan woman already bolted to go tell the village, "Hey, I found the Messiah. Come see." And his disciples, it says, urged him to eat. His disciples were used to seeing Jesus eat They were around him. They saw him get hungry. They saw him get thirsty, just like us. This is Jesus' humanity side. Yes, he is fully God, but also fully man. So he knows what it's like to be hungry and thirsty, just like us. Though he is the eternal God, he took on human flesh, became a man, and he took the limitations of a body. God himself coming in flesh so he could experience, listen to this, he could experience tiredness, weariness, exhaustion. He could experience pain, suffering. Listen, in order to understand your tiredness, your exhaustion, your pain, your suffering, your limitations. Jesus set aside his power as being God and his glory to see what it's like to be like us. Can you imagine? When Jesus came to save us and redeem us and reconcile us back to God through him, he also came and took on flesh of a man so that he could understand our limitations and what we deal with each and every day. So when you go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I am so tired. I am so weary. I am so exhausted. Lord, I'm in pain. Jesus can say, I know what it's like. And this is why he has so much compassion on us. Amen? This is why the Lord has compassion on you. When you get on your knees and pray, Lord, I'm weak. I'm exhausted. The doctor just told me I have cancer. I've got a tumor in my brain, Lord. He can say, I know what it's like to be exhausted, tired. And this is why I have so much compassion on you. It's amazing. This is how gracious the Lord is. I know what it's like. Notice this very interesting thing in this verse. It says, Jesus told his disciples, I have food to eat which you do not know. That's interesting, right? I have food to eat which you do not know. What does this mean? Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food, right? I'm talking about spiritual food. He's teaching his disciples about spiritual truths, right? He was teaching them, listen, I want you to stop focusing on the physical realm, and I want you to start focusing more on the spiritual realm. He's talking about spiritual things. You know, just like he told Nicodemus back in chapter 3, right? We went over that passage. He told Nicodemus, he said, hey, Nicodemus, just so you know, you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord, said that. John 3:3. He said, hey, Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God, right? He is telling Nicodemus, hey, Nicodemus, this isn't an option, by the way. This is a must, right? Nicodemus, this is a spiritual truth, right? You must be born again, not born physically, Nicodemus. Spiritually, born from above, born of God. Right? Becoming born again is an act of God in the heart of the believer. God does all the work in us. We come with all our heart. He does the rest. That's regeneration in the heart. You become born again in Christ. He does the work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer, in the heart, becoming born again. And just like Jesus tells the Samaritan woman by the well, as we've been going through, he says, you need living water, he tells her. He says, spiritual water, eternal life, salvation. I'm not talking about physical water at the well. What did he tell this woman? You can drink here every day, you're going to be thirsty again. This water, you'll be thirsty. You'll be back here tomorrow drawing more water. You're going to be thirsty. This is physical. I'm talking about spiritual water, living water. He's talking about spiritual truth to us through the passages, right? Jesus is more interested in our souls being spiritually fed than physically. I know we love the potluck supper. I'm the first in line usually. But he's all set with whatever that is. He is interested in a spiritual life that we are growing. What did Jesus say in Matthew 4:4? He said, it is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Spiritually. If you are not in the scriptures daily, Jesus is saying you're starving yourself spiritually. If you're not in my word, another spiritual truth. Right? That's how we get spiritually fed. Right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Reading and hearing the word of God. That's how we get spiritually fed. That's why we gather in his name on Sundays to hear his word so we get spiritually fed, which is way more important than physical food. You know, the thing is, how do you know God's will for your life if you're not in his word? Amen? Right? How do you know God's will for your life if you ain't reading his word? You're just going to coast through life. And the Bible says one day we're all going to stand before Christ. Right? So I heard before, Bible, right, stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Right? There's some truth to that. Jesus is telling us in this passage, he says, the food that satisfies me, revives me, strengthens me, is to do the will of the Father, he who sent me, and to finish his work. What's he talking about? He's talking about sharing the gospel. He's talking about sharing his faith, leading others to salvation. He's telling his disciples, this is why I came. This is who I am. Right? His disciples, right? Jesus was telling his disciples, hey, he says, you know that Samaritan woman that took off running? She's tough. She's witty. She's crafty. But underneath all that, she was hurting. She was in pain. She was suffering. She was hiding her shame. But Jesus says, look, she's free now. She's free. She's been given life. And Jesus says, oh, that's what satisfies me. That's what satisfies me. That's what revives me. That's what strengthens me. That's what's filled me. He says, to see this woman be set free, right? I'm so satisfied. Jesus is basically telling, I'm so satisfied, I'm not even hungry. She's gone to go get her whole village. The village is coming to get saved. Can you imagine? She couldn't wait to go tell everybody else how to get saved. I've been doing my Father's will, and look at that woman. She's been set free. Look at the smile on her face. Look at the joy in her eyes. That's what satisfies me, disciples. That's what motivates me. Oh, the Lord says, that's what brings me joy. Jesus loves to see lost people get saved. That's why he came. He tells us in the scriptures, I came to seek and save the lost. That's why I came. The Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. When you came to Christ, you surrendered your life to Christ through repentance and faith, the angels in heaven were rejoicing over you. And you didn't even know it. The angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to Christ. Jesus says, as the angels rejoice, I rejoice too. That's what satisfies me, right? And this is exactly why Jesus commands us, believers in Christ, to go share the gospel. That's the Great Commission given to every believer in Christ. Go share your faith with others. God desires all men and women to be saved. When he says men, he means men and men to be saved, right? The scripture says it, the Bible tells us, for this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. God desires all men to be saved. Unfortunately, most men reject God. Most men reject the gift of salvation. Most men have rejected Christ. Can you imagine being that spiritually dead and ignorant? Free gift God, our Creator, gives you through His Son. And you say, no, I'm all set. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, Jesus said, but few are going to come. That's why we've got to share the gospel, amen? Right? We didn't get saved to sit. We got saved to serve and go preach the gospel. No one in hell, listen carefully, no one in hell can say, I came to Jesus and he rejected me. God does not reject people. People reject God, sadly. God's will for our lives is that we would repent and believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, and come to the truth, as we just read, which leads us right into verse 35 and 36. This is awesome. Look at what Jesus says. He's continuing to talk with his disciples. Look what he says. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, don't put off sharing your faith until the harvest. He says, don't put this off. We're going to share your faith now. He says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. All the people who are living without Christ, for they are already white for harvest. They're ready for you to step forward and share your faith. Jesus says, right, you follow me, right? He says, lift up your eyes. Look. Now, today is the day of salvation. He says, and then he says, for they are already white for harvest, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Jesus is saying, don't wait for the harvest to come. Go share the gospel now. Don't wait 4 months or next year. Yeah, I was going to talk to Uncle Bob next year when I see him at the barbecue. I don't have time right now. I'll catch up with him next 4th of July. Jesus says, no, 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 no. He could die tomorrow and wake up in hell because you didn't want to share your faith. He says, now, today is the day of salvation. This is exactly what Jesus is telling us. Don't you wait on your family members that are slow coming to Christ. No one knows when their last day is. Jesus, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ready to hear the good news. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 9:37? He talked about the same thing. He said, the harvest truly is plentiful. There are a lot of souls out there, he's saying. But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray, Jesus says, to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Pray that God raises up some Christians who's going to go preach and share their faith with others, right? He said, he who also receives rewards, right? He who reaps receives rewards and gathers fruit for eternal life. As you're out there sharing your faith, you're gathering fruit in Jesus' name for him. I've said this before to you guys. I honestly believe this. Many people are going to make it into heaven by the skin of their teeth, but will have no fruit to offer God. Can you imagine? You're standing before Jesus Christ. And you have no fruit. Look what I've done, Lord, for you. Look at those who I shared my faith, whether they came or not. And he's going to say, I know. You were bearing fruit in my name. I do believe that. There'll be many who make it in by the skin of their teeth and will stand before God with no fruit. I also believe the other side to it, many people are going to miss heaven by the skin of their teeth. Why? They put all their faith and trust in themselves for their salvation, not Jesus Christ. Amen? They were trusting in their own righteousness to get them into heaven instead of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them. They did everything else right, but the most important thing, they didn't trust in Christ. They trusted in themselves. They believed in a works-based gospel, which is false gospel. That's what the Pharisees believed in, the Sadducees, and other religions out there. They believe, I got to earn it. Listen, if you got to earn your salvation, then Jesus died in vain. What is the song we just sang this morning, right, Kelly? Nothing in my hands do I bring. Nothing. Simply to the cross I cling. He did it. He paid my sin debt. I'm a child of God because of him, not me. My righteousness is like filthy rags before God. Right? Isaiah the prophet, one of the holiest prophets in the Bible, said that. He said, our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. We get to heaven through Jesus Christ and his righteousness. When you surrender your life to Christ, Jesus' righteousness gets imputed to you, and you become justified, just as if I never sinned in the sight of the Lord. Justified, in good standing with God, guaranteed eternal life in Christ in heaven. Amazing. Let's go on, verse 37 and 38. I promise I'll get you guys out of here by 3 o'clock. Look at verse 37. Jesus goes on. Here you go. For in this, the saying is true. One who sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. What's that about? Glad you asked. This is beautiful. This is sowers and reapers. Sowers and reapers working together to advance the kingdom of God. And both receiving wages and rewards, rejoicing together. Listen, gathering fruit together. You and me shared our faith with so-and-so. You said something, I said something, he came to Christ. We're both going to receive rewards. We're on the same team. We're gathering fruit for Jesus, right? You planted the seed, right? I watered, but God gave the increase, right? You plant, someone planted the seed, right? God's word, right? And another explains the word. You may talk about the Lord to somebody, and they're interested, and you invite them to church, and they hear the gospel. Oh, makes sense now. And God does the rest. We did our job. You planted, I watered, God gave the increase. He saves them, right? And you know what? We got to let God be God, right? Sharing our faith doesn't mean you go to your family member and beat him over the head with a baseball bat. You better repent and believe today. I went to church and that's what the pastor said. No, that's not sharing your faith. Listen, we can plant the seed and do it with love and grace. Paul says, do it seasoned with salt. That means be kind, be loving, even though we want to beat him on the head with a bat sometimes. Michelle and I got some family members like that, right? She's like, leave the bat in the car, Sean. I'm like, all right, we'll do that. See you at your side of the family. But let God be God. You did your work. You shared your faith. You shared your faith. And let God be God. You can't save them. You can't save them. God can. God can do that. Sometimes we play God. We can't do that. Let's let God be God. As much as we want to beat him. Just kidding. You got to do it with love. Let's take a look at verse 39 and 40. These are wonderful verses right here. Look at this. Look at how this verse starts out in 39. And many. Just sit on that word for a minute. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Many believed in him because of the word, listen, of the woman who testified. Because of the woman who ran to them to tell them the good news. The woman that said, he told me everything that I ever did. He told me everything I ever did since I was a little girl. Until now, he knew it all. This is definitely the Messiah. So when the Samaritans had come to Jesus, they urged Jesus to stay with them. Look at this. And Jesus stayed with them 2 days. Jesus stayed with them two. This is 2 days of seminary from God right here. And look, many believed in him. Many turned to him. You know, the thing is, if you go through the scriptures and you read them, you read this, and I know you spend a lot of time in the scriptures studying the word, you've probably noticed they rejected Jesus in Judea. They rejected him in Jerusalem. They rejected him in his own hometown of Nazareth. They rejected him in Bethsaida. They rejected him in Capernaum, but not in this town. These Samaritans in Samaria, oh Lord, we can't get enough. Amen? Oh Lord, we believe. His own people rejected him, and the Gentiles said, we believe. We believe. You know what this tells you right here? These people were on fire for the Lord. They welcomed, right? Oh, they said, oh, Lord, stay with us. Can you stay with us, Lord? Can you stay a day or two? Keep preaching to us? Jesus said, yes, I can. I'm going to stay with you 2 days because the whole village is going to get saved. The whole village is going to get saved in these next day or two. Don't you wish you were there? Oh, man, I do. I wish the story was a little different. It was a man by the well. And his name was Sean Bovair, right there. man, that would have been awesome when he looked at me and told me everything I ever did and said, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting on. Guess what? The Bible says every one of us in this room is going to stand before him and see him for who he is. That's another truth. They had a hungry heart for the Lord, like you. They were no different than you and I. They had a hungry heart. They had a curious heart for God. They had a heart for God, just like you. I hope that's why you're here this morning. Because you're curious to know more about God. You have a hungry heart for God. That's why I hope you're here. Jesus knows why you're here. I hope that's why you're here. But he knows why you've set this time aside for him this morning. Because you have a hungry heart for God. And you want to serve him and obey him all the days of your life till you stand before him and he says, welcome home. Let's look at our final verses before we take communion. Verse 41 and 42. Look at this. Just keeps getting better. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe. Not that we were doubting you, but because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know, indeed, this is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the whole village. You shared your faith with us. You got us excited. Oh, we heard his word and we believe. He is the Savior of the world. What a great way to end this story. Notice many more believe. Verse 39, many believed. Verse 41, many more believed. Right? Multiple people coming to Christ, right? This is how the kingdom of God advances. Listen, one bringing another. That's how God's kingdom advances. One bringing another to Christ. This Samaritan woman, by the way, this sister in Christ, she started out this conversation in the very beginning with Jesus, calling him a Jew, right? Remember reading that, right? You guys didn't forget already, right? It was just 2 weeks ago, right? She started out this conversation saying, what are you, a Jew, talking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. Then, guess what? She said, I like the words I hear. She started calling him, sir. I think you're a prophet. End of the story, she's calling him Messiah. Jew, sir, Messiah. My Savior, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. Can you imagine? What a story. It's an amazing story, huh? Hopefully you enjoyed this as much as I have. This is amazing. And you know, one last thing. Before we take communion, Jesus was telling us through the scripture, this was a Samaritan woman. Listen, very immoral woman, living an adulterous life, married 5 times, living with a boyfriend, most likely living in fornication. And Jesus says, that's no barrier for me. If she comes to me with all her heart, she will be forgiven. Hallelujah. And Jesus saves her. All these things I told you about, all this sin you've been living in, Jesus says, not a barrier for me. You come to me from all your heart. You turn, that's what repentance is, turn you from your sin and turn to God. I'll forgive you like it never happened. I'll cast your sins to the bottom of the sea like I never even knew it. Made new. Right? What does Paul write to Corinthians? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Boy, do we serve a merciful God or what? The Bible says one sin will land you in hell. I don't know about you guys. I used mine up years ago. But Jesus came and paid the dues for me. And I hope he has for you too. I hope you've given your life to Christ and said, I'm all in with you, Lord. I'm all in. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning, your word directly to our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful story that you shared with us in the scriptures, Lord. May we remember this throughout our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.